they are okay with you doing it once or twice or three times. And then they'll limit you. So it seems like they're okay with that line. I don't know how much further that would go.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome in to a new episode of the Risk Takers Podcast. We have with us Brock from Odds Pulse, a.k.a. Sports Betting Guy on Twitter, a original live ARB master who's going to help walk us through this new live ARB craze where, you know, he's been in the space for a while and is, you know, quite experienced. So happy to have you on, Brock. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. And I don't know that I call myself a master of live ARB, but yeah, I've been doing it for like a year now and made a lot of money off of it. So
good enough. I think that's all people really want. Someone who knows what they're doing, has made some money and can teach them how to do it. Can't call that a master. How did you get, you know, live ARB is obviously now it's like, on Twitter, everything I see is live ARBing, but you've been doing it for a year. How did you get into it? How did you get into betting? Like, what, you know, why were you so early to this?
Yeah, the progression I think was fairly natural, very strangely natural. So I'd never done any sports betting, but then I just saw a DraftKings commercial maybe September, October last year. And they were just saying like new user sign up, something like $1,000 risk free bet. And I botched redeeming this because I didn't realize you lose it. It's a free bet. They give it to you.
Yeah.
Instead of just like the money back.
Yeah.
So I botched that. And then I was like very upset because I felt like I'd been cheated by them. So I made pretty strong commitment to get them back and
feel this love one. It it's like Batman's origin story, like DraftKings killed your parents and you came back for blood.
Yeah, that's how I view it. But it's the progression into live ARB is, I mean, you're able to get them back long before live ARB, like right away, like after you lose $1,000 and redeem the free bet horribly, they'll sort of like think, okay, he doesn't know what he's doing. Let's keep giving him these. So like right after that, you sort of learn how to redeem them for like a good value. And like you get into their VIP program, they just continually give you money. And it's very nice. And then you're like, this isn't enough. We need to get them harder. And like, I sort of just became obsessed with watching these lines without any kind of like tooling, just like,
right.
Cause I didn't know like the tooling existed, that was out there, but, was sort of just like watching the points bet line live in the bathtub. I was just like chilling, like wanting to know what's going on. Like, how are they able to move this line? Like in a good, very quick enough way that the bettors can't just compare these two. So I just had my phone. I was chilling in the bath, looking at the DraftKings and the points bets lines. And I was like, these are like massive ARBs. obviously they can't do it. And then you make like 10 bets on points bet that are relatively large. And then you get limited.
10 is a lot. 10's a lot. 10 is a
lot. Well, I had just been like bonus grinding on,
yeah,
and they were pretty much fine. It seemed like they do like a weird thing where like they do like whatever it is, the power hour. Well, where they'll give like every day, they'll give you like $1 same game parlay free bet. If all you do is grind the promos, they increase that amount.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder why they do that.
They do this for probably a month. And like by the time the World Cup was going on last year, my free bets every day were like $50. Like very,
wow,
very reasonable.
And you were just doing the promos.
just doing the promos. Now, luckily, I was like hedging DraftKings VIP promos. Yeah. Again. So they were presumably getting some good action.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, after you hit a few points, you're like limited and you're like, oh no, like didn't even know this was like a real thing. And then I was like, okay, we gotta test this out on all the books, see what's out there. So then from like probably January of this year, I just set up, and this is what I think everyone should have live arbing is like 2, 3, 4, 5 monitors, mm-hmm. and sort of like one book on each screen, plus okay. however many tools you want to have. We have a tool at Odds Pulse that tracks the live arbs, and sort of just be like sort of tap trading, day trading these moves whenever they go into arbitrage. So then I got the Odds Jam live arbs tool. I personally thought it was like very slow, not very usable. But I think it's good for like whenever you have those beginning accounts, you can just like current through those. And then I tried another couple of services. And like, I obviously had complaints about them because I was, for some reason, just hell bent on killing DraftKings, and not just DraftKings at this point, but like getting as much money out of this edge as I could.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I want these books to be supported, and like these books aren't fast enough, and like the service is down now. And I was like, I love your service, but I'm going to make my own because every day I would pretty much go to work. And I would be like, look, listen to this crazy thing that happened, sports betting yesterday. And like my coworkers would be like, oh, that is very interesting. And then a lot of them turned sports better than this way. But yeah. One of them like made this tool with me, my partner. And so we made this tool also. Now I viewed it as like, I'm just trying to bet as good right. as I can live. Now the other tools that I was using were sort of like, you're not allowed to use our tool anymore. So then
when you made your own?
Yeah. They were very against that. They were like, this is like a niche space. Like you're going to kill the edge. Possibly true, but I think for a lot of reasons, it's not true. Just continued to work on Odds Pulse to make the live arbing as like well informed and easy to do like over time, and we've really been like I would say the last time I got kicked out of a tool was like September or August or something like that. I don't
know. These would just be like your standard ARB softwares that run now.
They're sort of like a little bit niche. Like I would make posts on Reddit and Twitter, and people would DM me and be like, "Hey, like stop posting, and I'll let you use my tool." And I was like,
okay, I see.
Now to try that.
Yeah. I see. It is interesting. The software, the sports betting software space for helping bettors, right? Because it's like there's this massive market to be like, oh, come bet at our sports book and whatnot. But the market for a tool, I find it's the more people are in the tool, the less valuable it is, right? And that's really difficult because you want to build these great tools that help bettors. But if they're too great, honestly, like the better the tool, almost the worse it is. It's like this weird, you know, it's very difficult. So I understand like those people are saying like, hey, like, you know, don't put out your tool, but I have one, you can use it. Let's, and that's common. That's super common in the industry for any type of edge. And it's a fine line to walk. I mean, I kind of try to walk it myself, like not post the most obvious, edges here or there, but then try to educate people. It's, you know, I don't know. How do you see that battle between like helping people actually win and then like the inevitable erosion of an edge that comes when you help people win that way?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting question. And I think there's a pretty strong argument that the edge does go away, and maybe it's gone away already. But I think for live arbing in particular, you've got a very like sort of hill that makes a lot of sense on why this live arbing edge is much more difficult to go away, which is that you've got some books that are very bad at pricing live lines and very good at limiting people who use those bad lines. So the live arbing, it seems like those books have taken the stance that they are okay with you doing it once or twice or three times, and then they'll limit you. So it seems like they're okay with that line. I don't know how much further that would go. Like you can't really take a zero bet. I think usually they have to take like a couple of bets. So I think those books are pretty far in that they're okay there. And that's like the points bet, Bet365, MGM. They're all really bad at live lines.
Amongst then, other things.
So they're bad at everything. I'm confused on how they're pricing anything correctly. I don't know what exactly they're doing. And then you've got like DraftKings also very bad. But then you've got like FanDuel, which is sort of in a different bucket for live, and Caesars as well. And they're sort of taking the opinion, it seems to me anyway, that like we know people are going to live arb against us, against the rec books. So we're going to be making money off of that. So we're okay with that to an extent. Like if all you're doing is hitting like lines that we think are okay versus like the DraftKings, the MGM, the points bets, like your account will be fine. But they also make live arb mistakes. I think live lines are very difficult to get correctly. And so if you hit those, those like really broken lines, like 100% arb, what I've seen is they don't usually limit you right away. Sometimes it will be the first one you hit, but sometimes it'll be like less so. Like you have to hit like three of them. Like it's like a clear pattern type of thing. And then cap you at, but their caps are usually much more reasonable. It's like $1,000.
Right.
So they're still okay with you playing them against each other. And I don't know what's going on at Caesars. But my guess is they think they're doing a pretty good job live, and they're willing to take pretty much whatever against for the live main lines. There's probably some exceptions. I mean, I'm doing no originating of any kind, but it seems like they're okay with anything I do. And then you've got Sportrade as well, and they're like an exchange where they've got DL Trading operating the lines there. And he's pretty much okay with it, is what he said. So
cool. Yeah. Circa
too. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. No, Circa, of course. So your opinion is generally those books that fall into, like, I think Caesars and FanDuel, I think Caesars is trying to push more like towards almost like a full sharp book, it feels like, but they're with FanDuel, I think, in that separate category for pregame as well. And what they think is, okay, people are going to arb, but they're going to be making mistakes by arbing on our platform. They should just be taking the bet unprotected on DraftKings. So if they want to like pay us money to de-risk, we're fine with that.
I think that seems like what they're doing to me. So that makes it seem like live arbing almost always will last like a month of doing it, because you'll probably start slow. And then it has the potential to go much longer, but much more of a grind, which is those FanDuel versus Caesar versus Sportrade arbs, which are much less common, but still very lucrative. it just requires sitting in front of the screen and being.
Yeah. So that's like the advanced. So there's two, you think there's like two stages. What I'm hearing from you is there's two stages of live art. There's the live art when you're free to roam around, like the world's your oyster. You have DraftKings, you have points, but there's just like mistakes all over the place. And then there's like, okay, you have to get serious and actually grind it out because you only have, you know, you're working against books that are trying to do a good job. And those are the only books that will now work with you. So you're trying to find a mistake amongst a smaller group of books who makes much fewer mistakes.
I think there's more after that.
Okay.
There's also like a lot of people who are just kerning through accounts, which is fine. It's just like maybe some risk there. I'm not sure. I don't know. Have you seen any kind of like evidence of any legal pursuits of people who are taking a lot of account and betting on behalf? I mean, and it would be like a problem. Have you seen?
Yeah, well, there's the case in London or in England, which was, I think the case was Bet365 versus a guy, but he was creating fake, like fully fake identities, okay. Like true fraud. As far as the people I've talked to, the understanding is if someone else is placing a bet, and this is how we operate. We basically sell information to people privately. That's our model. And they bet, they click the button. So we don't violate TOC, but this information is like, so I guess you could almost call us a private tout, even though it's like we're telling people this is a good bet, click it. But they're like, yes, and they click the bet and they own the account and they're real people. I think that's all fine. And that's what I've heard from many people as to be fine. If you're clicking, you're obviously going against TOC. Is that illegal? I don't think so. And if you're creating fake identities, that's fraud. So that's illegal. That's my understanding of it. So for live arb, you'd have to be clicking. I mean, there's no, you can't just be like, hey, like, are you at your computer? Oh, you're at the grocery store. Okay. In 30 minutes, come back and bet this live arb when the game's over. You know, like there's that just doesn't work for live arb. That's why I think, originating is so valuable for syndicate player for scaling. It's because your spots will stay alive longer. And you can operate on a model where you're just giving people bets and they're placing them and they're clicking it and it's like all above board. That's why I think originating is super valuable in the long run. But yeah, that's my understanding.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people just kerning through accounts and clicking on their behalf. I think the repercussions are probably going to be nothing. But some people could be being very greedy, and I would be surprised if a points bet was not upset at some point.
Yeah,
not even points bet anyone. But that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And I think
it definitely will.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? How much money do you think points bet would have to lose for them to be like concerned with this?
That's a good question. I mean, how do they even make money? You know, I think my take on PointsBet is that they never wanted to make money. They set out to showcase a technology to get bought because they clearly never tried to be good at bookmaking. I mean, it just didn't happen. They're so square, so quick with the limit. To me, they wanted to showcase they had some good tech, they have some good market access, and they were always trying to get bought. That's what I think, because they never made an attempt to do a good job. But
and by good tech, do you think the good tech was identifying the winning bettors immediately?
Could be, yeah. They were great at it. Yeah. Seriously, like PointsBet's the best at I think. I don't know how many losing bettors they accidentally limited. Like, that's the thing we don't know. I know somebody – I heard a good story from somebody who will go nameless, but they basically said that the biggest loser at like BetMGM is limited on DraftKings because they act like they bet like two steam moves or something. And then like they got mad and limited them. So now they can't bet. And it's just like crazy stuff like that. So those are the to understand who's good at limiting, you have to know that information, like who has, you know, been a false positive, and you just, there's no way to. All right. Classic cranberry juice, camera overheating situation. I will have to figure the fan out shortly. But anyway, we were just shitting on points bet for a little bit. But what I do want to know is I want to give people kind of a walkthrough of intro to live arbing. So let's say I'm not really experienced at all live arbing. So what would you, I come to you, I say, Brock, you know, yeah, I want to do the live arbing. I want to do the infinite money glitch. Teach me how. what would you say?
So this is what I'd say. I'd say identify the time where there's many games going on. So it'd be like, my view is the NBA full slate, 7 o'clock. Usually there's like two games start, 7:40, another four games start. You can hop on at that, probably 7:10. And okay, pull up the screens. They've almost all got screens where it says like what's live right now. And then you can sort by NBA and you'll just see the six pack of lines, which are the spreads, both money lines and both totals.
Okay.
And you can sort of watch where all of those games are without much difficulty. If there's only, say, two games going on. And take note, specifically if you're getting started, have a Bet365, a points bet, an MGM, even a DraftKings perhaps up. And take note of how they're moving the lines, because the reason the live arbs happen is because of, usually, sometimes it's different, but usually because of some action in the game that's happened. And so, like, if a player got a hit, that should move the lines in a baseball game to a point that's probably a greater spread than the current vig of the lines. So everyone will move
I see what you're saying.
Once, and then you'll see like some of them will just like sort of wait and then pop up after all the other ones. Some of them will move and then move back. And sort of watch what they're doing. And you'll see probably in ARB, or it's like zero, like it's 1 point away from going ARB, like almost all the time. There'll almost always be like 0%. Someone's at like minus 300, someone has plus 300 on the other
side. Yeah, okay.
Very often that will be the case.
And that's great.
Yeah, it is great. And also, you can know some things to probably not need to pay attention to that game anymore. If someone is winning to the point where they have like closed the favorite line for betting,
that
we will not have an ARB anymore.
Makes sense.
And let's see, anything else? Even if it's just like very long odds and they still have that, it's also probably going to be not having an ARB there. So usually you want close games that are back and forth where there's some action that's happening that's moving the lines. And that's like usually about like 60% of the games that are on, like, so like 40% go to blowouts, 60% are good games. So you can usually keep track of that. Once you've identified that game Lakers Celtics is going into ARB all the time between, say, FanDuel and PointsBet, wait for it to hit the quarter end that you're in or the timeout.
This is what Ed Miller talked about on the podcast about being at information par, like, because the sportsbook's feed could be a little ahead or something. Is that why you wait?
Well, I mean, it's I think you can do it and not wait, but if you're getting started, definitely you should wait because you're not going to be able to identify which odds feed is correct most of the time.
Okay.
So everyone sort of agrees on quarter end though. So
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
So it's like a mini market.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm really curious how much money they take in on the quarter end.
Yeah, okay.
I would guess it's a lot, but I have no idea what a rec better does live. Do you have any idea, any guess on what a rec better would do live?
Just blasts and complains.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably doesn't wait for information par. Probably doesn't necessarily wait for timeouts. Probably thinks that their TV is ahead of the sports book and that they're getting one over, you know. Probably a lot of that would be my guess.
That actually happens fairly often.
That's interesting. Do you have a TV setup, like a juiced up TV setup?
Okay, by TV being ahead,
I mean, yeah.
I was a little bit lying. yeah, but like my phone, sometimes I'll pull up like a video feed. Occasionally, there was this, I think some of these bowl games have teams that like some of these books were not supporting throughout the
interesting
the duration, and I think that some of them are like behind the TV perhaps.
Wow. Why do you think so?
Just a couple of like big ARBs that have happened.
Okay.
So and like their game state data has shown like there wasn't a touchdown scored yet, and like we've got a touchdown on the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
And then touchdown gets scored on the
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's not very common. The one thing that you can look at is a lot of the sports books have the bet feeds integrated for NFL. They have like a video that comes in. That feed is almost always the same feed they're going off of. Okay. So if you watch that, you will definitely see information that happens before the sports books have processed it. But that's like 1 second edge that you'll have there. It's very different.
Can you bet on that?
Yeah, you can bet on that. It's hard to place a live bet in like quicker than 3 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like, did you get faster over time?
I'm pretty fast now. The things that limit you are like a lot of them will have a timer that like just counts down from 10. And then you'll just have to wait the 10 seconds.
Terrible.
Terrible. It is really
terrible behavior.
Or some of them will count down from 5. The Caesars and FanDuel, Caesars will usually like, it'll sort of like spin for like 3 seconds and then accept, unless like they're going to reject it, then it'll spin longer and it'll reject. So
have you ever gotten, I mean, I assume the answer is yes, but have you ever gotten free rolled? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
by that?
Yeah. How do you mean? You're talking about they move the line off of a live bar move?
So it's like they spin the wheel and then they take it if an adverse event happens.
Oh, that's interesting because I don't think
an adverse event to you.
Yeah. What happens on Betfred a lot, and hopefully they picked, is they will do this all the time. They will say you have 3.5 as your spread. You'll send it, and then they'll just change it to 2.5.
Really? And they'll accept it. Yeah, and the bet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happened like a couple of times for me. And one time I like took a screenshot before and after, because I was like, this is probably going to happen this time. And
yeah.
I want to be prepared to go to support and tell them what happened. And took the screenshots and they were like, it didn't happen. Like, took the gaming commission, they were like, it didn't happen. Like, I guess you need a video if you're doing it. I don't know. But it's part of the game. I mean, they have to take their wins where they can get them. No judgments. We can, it's just part of it. Hopefully you don't lose a lot of money when it happens.
But, yeah. I mean, Betfred, that's a book that's not trying to be sharp at all. I'm actually surprised you went deep enough into the streets. You're at Betfred.
Yeah, I used to use Betfred a lot. They actually had, talking about this information part, they patched this, but during MLB season, they have a 10-second spinner, and they're very clear on what the 10-second is. And on MLB Side Live, it's relatively difficult to become limited below like $1,000 in winning. So very usable for the most part.
Yeah.
So they were, and Betfred, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But they had like a 10-second gap between themselves and Caesars, like game state data, which was extremely impactful in the in an eighth and ninth inning situation.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Someone got a hit. Like, this is game changing information.
Right.
So you just load up one side, have it in the
queue.
In the chamber, yeah.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you check, they got a hit, fired away. You'll watch it spin for like 10 seconds, and sometimes it'll go through, sometimes it'll like gray out like at 7 seconds and it'll be like something happened. Yeah.
Dude, I love that. And that's a good point. And that's interesting info. It's like, so I had one live betting experience where there's this one tournament in golf that's match play and is actually at Caesars. I was doing most of this betting and they didn't understand how match play affected win probabilities. And it's very complicated, but it's totally different than a normal tournament. And you could take the ESPN Plus feed and just absolutely run them over in live betting. And what I would do is what you're talking about is I would just have the feed on or have as many feeds on as I can. And I would just have all these bets preloaded waiting for a shot to happen. And then if it's a signal, if it's a go, like someone pumps one into the water, boom. And if it's not, then I don't bet it. But it's like you have to having that loaded up before. If you know what your spot is, there's no reason not to just load the chamber early. Yeah. And then, you know, because it gives you that extra, that's important time in these situations.
Yeah. And identifying which book is wrong live is very difficult. Betfred made it very easy to identify.
Fair. It's usually not that simple. But when you talk about which book is wrong, this is where I think it gets interesting. The live arbing. Like, it's obvious that if you can take two bets and guarantee a profit, that's a great situation. That's super, you know, that's everyone can wrap their head around that. We all like that. No risk. I've talked to people who do some live arbing who have switched to just taking one side.
Yeah.
Do you do that? What are your thoughts on that? Is that, you know, something you're doing more of?
It's an interesting strategy. I mean, I think like if you're doing Caesars versus DraftKings, like just taking the DraftKings side, I definitely think is good. Caesars versus MGM, just taking the MGM side is good. Caesars versus points bet. If you're doing a Caesars versus FanDuel versus like Circa versus Sportradar versus Pinnacle versus whatever bookmaker, or Prime or whatever.
Claiming to be
sharp. Identifying who's wrong fast enough to live arb is usually fairly difficult because it's usually something context based. Like something like there was this MLB game where a player got thrown out at home. And he was clearly safe. And it was like game altering eighth. They challenge it. And like he was clearly safe, called out. They challenge it. So the books sort of don't know what to do with this. Like they're sort of like maybe picking a side. For some reason, they leave the lines open. I'm not sure exactly what's behind that. Leave the lines open and then he comes back. They're all expecting him to be safe. The call stands us out. So like weird situations like that where I don't like, it could be a either or, but I don't know. They have to put something on the board, I guess.
I think that's a great, so that's something that Ed Miller talks about. because he made live models for the books. So he made the Deck Prism model that live that traded, or that they traded NFL, college football, and then he made an NBA one, I think. So he's done three.
He had an MLB one as well.
He had an MLB one. Okay. Okay. Cool. And it's like that. That was a scenario where he was like, "That's a super easy spot for you to get an edge is when there's a penalty because there's no data. There's no data feed that tells the sports books runner called out likely safe. That's not part of the data that comes in. So it's like, you know, it's like challenge. There's no probability given to the books on how likely the challenge is to be overturned or not, or to have it stand. And that's a situation where if you're, you know, well-versed in the sport and you're, you know, up to date with your information and you understand the whole live arbing process, it's like that next level. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a situation where it's like, okay, clearly safe and you get, you know, screwed over. That sucks. But in that instance, that was probably a really big spot. Like that spot probably had an EV of like 100% if it's a ninth inning, or probably 200 or 300%. You know? So you only have to get one or two of those. And that's not going to be a situation where you like, just take the arb, because in there you would know, you would understand why this is happening. And I think listening to you talk, I see a lot of people on Twitter who get into live arbing and they're like, oh, you know, I can't find any bets, or I'm not fast enough, or it doesn't work. But when I talk to somebody like you, you're talking about why and context and setting yourself up to know, not only like to know where to look for the good opportunities, which I think is important, because that's, you know, it's not as simple as you just, well, I mean, maybe it is these days, but you know, click a button, get an arb. You know, there's ways that you can make it more likely you'll find a good opportunity, right?
Yeah. If you know something weird is going to happen, like some star player, like John Morant's coming back today, like they don't know, they don't know what's going on today. Like it's going to be weird. I think another thing that happens that I'm only like sort of starting to do is if there's been a lot of steam going into a game, then I think there's probably a lot of chance that those books' live models will have some tendency to like revert back to whatever they originally said. I'm not sure exactly how much of that there is, but
makes sense.
To the smallest extent that I have been tracking, it seems like that is a good indicator as well.
I like that. And it's one of those things where like in general, when there's movement, when there's uncertainty, you know, it helps the sharp better ultimately, because the books, they have a lot to do, and they might not be watching that game where the batter, you know, the guy slides in. And they don't, they might have missed the replay. The trader might not see the replay. And then they can't do anything. I mean, what can they do? So when there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of back and forth, I think it's very hard for the books to stay on top of everything that's happening. And why in these weird situations that aren't part of their base model, like part of the base game state they model for, John Morant coming back, is he going to be, you know, limited on minutes, or how is he going to play after, you know, being out for so long? I mean, there's no way to tell, but I'm sure somebody who's really understands basketball, who's watched a lot of the games with, you know, John Morant in and with John Morant out, when he comes back, they might be like, oh, it's clear to me that he's much worse, but the books don't understand, their models can't see that he's much worse. So then this should be a bet, you know, and there's no way the sports books could. I just like, they just can't keep track of all of that.
Yeah, I don't think they can know. I mean, I don't know it either. I just arb them. I'm like, okay, they disagree. On to the next.
Yeah, I see on your Twitter, I think it says you're like, bet millions of dollars in sports, have very little interest in sports. Or is that's the line? Yeah. Is that true? Yeah, you didn't have any interest in much interest in sports coming into this?
Yeah, definitely didn't have. I mean, I think I watched like no sports for like the 2 years prior, maybe more. I would say that's changed a little bit. I actually just removed that like a week ago because
Okay.
I do think some sports are very interesting, especially like significantly interesting stories and like noteworthy events that happen that cause the arbs are very, very interesting to me.
Yeah. No, I do think that's, there is this, so I just did like a mini rant podcast about plus EV betting. And I do think there's, when people are like, oh, plus EV betting, you just, you know, a number pops up and it's devigged and you bet it. It's like, and you don't know any sports, knowing sports is stupid. And it's like, I hear that it's that curve, right? That you always see. It's like on the far left end of the curve, it's like, I watch sports, like, but you're like the drooling, like losing better. And then in the middle of the curve, you have, you know, don't watch sports. It's, you know, plus EV math. And then the far end of the curve, you're like watching sports is like the real killers are like watching sports is important. You know, understanding what's going on in the sport is important. And I think that's just 100% true. Like, I do think you can get to a certain point without understanding the sport. But after that, there's just no way that you can be top of the heap at whatever sport you're betting on without understanding the sport. I just think it's impossible. I could be wrong, but I think it's impossible.
No, I think you're right. That's a good meme too. I've seen that, or whatever it is, not a meme. I don't know. Just like picture.
I do like the theory behind it of like, it's like a circle. It's like, and it's like you think one thing and then you're like, that thing's so stupid. And you're like, well, actually, no, but maybe I'm using it differently or whatever. But yeah. I think, I don't know, go on.
I was going to say, I think there's a lot of cases that happen where I sort of like scratch my head thinking like, oh, the odds should have moved like a little bit more off of that. Like there was a college basketball game the other day where like right until it was back and forth. It was like a 1-point game. Like one team took the lead. And then like the odds like stayed exactly the same. Like it went from like plus 100 minus minus 120 or something like that. And it just like sort of stayed there after they took the lead. And it was like definitely this change in lead happened. And like the odds didn't move. Those cases happen a lot too, where you're sort of like the odds, like someone is wrong here, but are they wrong now or were they wrong before, like before this event happened? Like,
yeah. That's a good question.
I'm certain that this event is like definitely a very meaningful. I saw this happen in baseball a lot too, where like in the late inning, someone would get a hit and like then the person on, like then they would change the odds. The person on base gets out and the odds would remain exactly the same. Like even just like getting picked off at a base.
Wow. And
like they would say it happened.
But keep the odds.
Keep the odds the same. And I was like, okay. Someone's definitely wrong here. Like, before are they wrong now?
I don't know. It's like either are they admitting they were wrong right before that happened, or now are they asleep at the wheel? You know,
or there could be wrong both cases. Like they could be wrong.
That's just another good point. They could just be dumb.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of this. Like everyone sort of copies a line, and like it's probably wrong a lot. And they just let it go to ARP sometimes, but in these cases. But I would guess there's a lot of like origination level
mistakes live
stuff that happen.
So that's a good. This is a question I have for you, and I kind of talked to Ed about it, or it's in his book. I can't remember which is which, but the copying of lines live. What are you seeing in terms of like sportsbooks putting up their own line and kind of standing by it, as opposed to like when there's a timeout, when there's a, you know, whatever, a little bit of break and play, like how often are they just converging together because they're all afraid to like leave an arb open and they kind of,
it's definitely weird. And I've been watching a lot of like NBA lines recently just because there's a lot of NBA games, and I didn't do as much college basketball lines because it's harder to get money down there at FanDuel. Interesting. Usually like $500, which is like fine. But also I use Sportradar a lot, and they didn't have much liquidity for college basketball, and they do have a lot for NBA. So at NBA, what happens a lot, which is very weird, is there's definitely copying going on. It's not always obvious who's copying who.
Interesting.
I would really like to have, and I plan on bringing this up as soon as I can figure out how to do it and not take up too much screen real estate, is having Bookmaker and Penny up as well, and also maybe Betfair or some other suspects that I have that they're copying.
Yeah.
That I'm not like actively tracking. But one thing that I'll note that happens a lot is it'll go to a quarter break or a timeout.
Okay.
And Caesars will have a line that's ARB with FanDuel. That's like very small, like plus like 390, minus 380. And what will happen is like the Caesars will have this minus 380. They'll push it to like minus 500. And then like their plus side will become plus 400, and it'll be like more of an ARB than it was before. And then FanDuel will copy that. And then like they'll close their lines. They'll sort of like mirror this plus 400 minus 500, okay, which is not as big of a move for them, because they were starting out at the plus 390. They're moving
plus 390. Plus 400. Yeah.
So, and then what will happen is Caesars will move it back. Like very weird.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird. It happens like once a day that type of thing will happen.
Very weird. I love it though. Those are the interesting, when you're really in the weeds, like that's the stuff that, you know, yeah, I bet there's very few people who are just hawking those live lines as hard as you right now. So I love hearing like stories like that, which I would have no.
No, I have no idea what's going on there. I mean, yeah, it's tough. I'm open to theories on like what's. I sort of am theorizing that they're trying to like move someone else's line and then take a line back.
It's interesting,
but I don't know that that's what they're. I mean, it's tough to say, because I generally think FanDuel is better at NBA pricing, just based on and my assessment is like who's winning in my bets of this category.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they're just like doing something weird that I don't understand.
Well, FanDuel is an interesting case because they're all in-house.
Yeah.
It's so rare for any operator to be fully in-house, especially in the U.S., especially with such a big footprint like FanDuel. So they might be doing weird stuff that's like totally proprietary. They're certainly live to do that because they have the capability to do whatever they want. They're not beholden to third party data provider or to third party like lines makers. So they could be doing some weird stuff that nobody else is doing for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed Miller told me one time that the Pinnacle, like FD, he would sometimes manually change this penny line and, FD would copy it.
Okay.
So he was aware of this, and I had almost never seen this, and I still don't usually pull up penny lines. The screen real estate is kind of important, and I don't really have a way to look at the penny lines in a very live. Easy way live.
Yeah.
In the same format that I would like to see them in to validate this claim. But I did see like maybe 3 weeks ago or something, Sportradar, which is sort of a weird case, had a line that was like all of a sudden the total moved 40 points off for basketball.
40?
Yeah, 4-0. And then I was like, not knowing what's happening in the game is like sort of impactful. Like I obviously try to go for that one first, but then I was like trying to check what the line was at FanDuel, and I see the FanDuel line move from like 210 to 250, and I'm like, what happened in this game? and then I like look at Caesars, and they're like, I try to place a bet on the over 210, and they're like, we're not accepting bets at this time, which is like very weird. Like strange thing to happen. And you see Caesars move the line from like 210 to 215, which is like not a, but they're like not accepting bets along the way.
So they were like, it doesn't seem right, but we don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, yeah. And it looked like FanDuel sort of copying someone. And I don't know.
It's like an air move. Yeah. That feels like moving on total air. So you talk about screen. So I'm trying to. Well, you like this is what do you think of your space just blowing up in the last couple months? Like,
it's interesting.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good because I think hitting the rec books against like the slightly less rec books is going to stay for a while. And if you only hit main lines, I think that should make it much more difficult to impose limits quicker. I think if you're doing like first quarter alternate spread or something like that, like it makes a lot of sense that the books would limit you very quickly. But just main lines is like sort of a thing that I think they would have some sort of like pride in, like we want to allow people to bet on our main lines. And we're sort of like all in on the main lines, for that reason. So I think the space blowing up is going to be, and I think has been, a good thing for OddsPulse, like getting new users to find out about us, and like find out about live arbing. I would definitely like more people to be like posting live arbs they hit with OddsPulse. So that would be great. And these people who are doing it, they're sort of like very interested in, I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe stubbornness in like they're like promoting someone else or something. So I think it is that good because we definitely have seen more people join. It could be just like improving our product experience or like more people following me for some reason. But I think this space blowing up is very interesting. I'm very curious why it happened. What was your experience? Because for me, it was more like Elf just like posted this video, and then like everyone sort of was like retweeting it.
He's the guy with the sleeve.
He's the guy with the sleeve. Yeah.
Yeah. He's friends with. He did a video with my friend Juan. I think he must be driving some of that traffic, and then I think. The one click tool from Odds Jam is probably what I think that's what mainly probably blew the space up, just because people like what's easy, you know. Yeah. People, you know, easy money sells and gets eyeballs. So that's probably mainly it. I don't know. I don't really.
This one click tool is interesting to me because, I have seen sort of like these feature release emails in the past, and they're sort of like we introduce like refreshing the ARB screen, and it's like, I don't know, that sounds like a very easy effort task. And then it's like one click bet it. Like that sounds like very complicated to do. So I'm sort of confused on why it's, and maybe it's not easy to implement, but why it's able to be implemented. It seems like.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
I don't know. I would assume sportsbooks wouldn't want it implemented.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of an interesting point for me as well, because I don't know. I think some odds, like live ARB services are also in the business of helping the sportsbook identify. It's sort of like a strange space to be in. And I've got a hunch that that's maybe part of what's happening, but I don't really know.
Yeah. I think a one click tool is, I'll be honest, terrible. Like I like Alex and, you know, and whatnot, but I think it's absolutely terrible for account health. Yeah. Like you won't catch me dead using a one click tool on any person, on any betting partner we throw in. Just awful for account health.
I could see it like making sense at a penny or
sure,
or something like that. But I don't even know if it works at like a sharp book. Like it's
yeah, weird. I don't know why a sharp book would take it. I think they would just bring it in house. Like yeah. it doesn't. yeah, the one click tool is weird. I think that's what blew the space up though, and I think anything that helps people get reps winning betting is good ultimately. Like I talked about this from time to time, but there's this psychological hurdle that you have to clear. That's like, okay, I can beat a sports book. It's like with you, like you started and you were like, wow, like this promo, I played this the wrong way, but I kind of learned something. I think I can started arbing promos. And then you started just arbing just traditional arbs. And then you started doing more advanced arbing, which is like understanding the game state of the sport and where to look and arbing main lines and arbing the sharper books. And there's this progress that like has to start with easy money somewhere. So I mm-hmm. think it's good. And I think what is going to be interesting is like what happens when you burn through your, you know, 5-6 soft book accounts really quickly. What do you do then? Yeah, and then I think that's always the next question. But I think it's good to get people winning, make some money, understand you can beat the books, but then it's like, what's next? And there has to be something. You have to be able to take it to a next step by, you know, using your brain and doing some like original thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, and after you burn those accounts, like definitely check out Odds Pulse.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Odds Pulse is part two. We'll have the link in everything I put out, and we'll get you. I mean, are you on the Discord? On the GP Discord?
I'm in the GP Discord.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what we did with Tom from Unabated was we kind of had him do a live walkthrough. So what we should do is we should maybe bring you on if you have time.
Okay. Yeah.
On
yeah,
a Friday, and you can walk through the tools and talk over it, because I do think there's something to be said for watching somebody who's like an expert do something, following along. Like we can talk about on this podcast your opinions on how to best start with live arb, but like watching you do it live, I feel yeah. like that's a no-brainer, easy way to learn. So if you'd like, we would love to have yeah, you in the like in the Discord to do a tutorial.
Yeah, that would be good. I love the GP Discord. I wish I knew more about golf because it seems
like
you
don't.
A lot of golf. Do you do any like live golf stuff? Oh, you
not
said
really.
You,
there was but, that match play yeah. tournament that was a bonanza, and then not really. I've thought about it a little more. Like they'll put up matchup odds. There's certain situations where I could see there being an edge. Basically, like if a player hits a ball into a spot that they don't know is actually really bad, then there could be an edge there. But the juice on the live matchups is insane.
Oh, really?
So I think they're protected. I haven't dug too much into it. I mean, what's up?
How insane's the juice?
-135, -135.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Like, welcome to the world of alt sports. You know, it's like they'll have like a whole matchup, like a matchup on one hole of golf, be like -120, -120, and it's like I'm probably +120, not actually, but like against it on one hole of golf, like it's like you could have the best player in the world, like basically not be -120 against the worst player on the tour, and like that's their standard juice for like one hole of golf. So the alternate, like the golf derivatives, are still really highly juiced. There's some good value, but we're so pregame heavy in like mid tournament. You know, we do mid tournament. We could bet on a winner after round one, but it's like, are we betting on it mid round? Not usually. There's some round four stuff. Like another thing that you said, which is important to everybody listening on live betting, is the further into the game, the more value there usually will be. So a good example of this is Cam Smith at the Players when he won. So he was on the 18th hole with the lead, and there's basically no way he can lose except for he punches out of the woods into the water. And the odds swing from him being like minus like 500 to being like plus 100 in one shot or something. Yeah. And that wouldn't happen if it was like day two and he punched out of the woods into the water. But since it was the last hole of the whole tournament, you know,
yeah,
the effect of what happens on the field is amplified greatly. Same thing as like the runner sliding and getting called out in the ninth. It would be different if it was in the first. It wouldn't have as high of an impact on the probability of who wins. So the deeper into a game, the deeper into an event, the more the bigger the swings will be in win probabilities, and the better usually the live betting will be, I would assume. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I was going to say for UFC, I have alt bet a little bit of UFC live, just because I was curious on how like accurate these motions were. And I think for golf, you've also got the component where it's maybe more slow moving, and something like basketball is very fast paced, and same with like MLB sort of like fringe ish fast, because like each pitch can happen sort of fast, but I think golf is a bit slower. Football's like somewhat combined fast and slow, but UFC is very fast. And
right,
I've never really seen a UFC fight, but if you just pull up the UFC odds on three or four sports books, I think every match I've ever done this for, the arbs will be very, very large. You just like can't really bet that much.
Interesting. So you'd say that could be like, you can't bet that much. It might be a good spot to start live arbing.
It's a confusing spot to start live arbing because like the match could end as soon as you place one of those bets. Whenever
right, and not get the other side because it was a KO or whatever. Yeah. So if you were to start, you mentioned basketball around 7 o'clock is when they're going to have, or what is it? Like sit down at the computer, like 7:10.
Yeah. 7:10 Eastern, and 7:10 have your book open, have your slightly less rec Caesars and FanDuel up as well.
And do you think that you can get started without software, without Odds Pulse, without Odds Gym? Okay. Because I think that's good, because a lot of times, like, I think one thing I want to do more of is show people ways they can win without paying for software, because it is like people are sometimes afraid to make that initial investment before they've started winning. So it's like, so what would you say? Like what you pull up your sharp, a couple of sharp books and a couple of rec books?
I would be very surprised if you don't see an ARB, just watching whatever game's close on, especially if you haven't burned a points bet, like, look at the points bet lines, they will go ARB probably three or four times, maybe even a very large ARB, and you will be like sort of hooked based on that.
There you go.
10% ARB on a main line, like crazy.
That's fun. That's fun. Okay. So like so if I don't have software, you say I pull up Caesars, FanDuel, and then like PointsBet, DraftKings.
Yeah.
BetMGM.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just getting started, it's maybe easier just to do two points bet for Caesars or points bet for FanDuel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Points bet. Yeah. Just would you even have the game on?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Could just confuse you.
Yeah. Throw some lo-fi beats on there.
Lo-fi beats and two sports books.
What all of them are, all those lines are. If any of them have gone close, they'll probably go close again. Stuff like that.
I love it. Okay. Very cool. So I feel like we should leave everybody with that, which is get up Caesars, get up PointsBet, get up some lo-fi beats, and just wait in the weeds. And, you know, once you hit that first big ARB, you'll feel the rush and, you know, go from there. But it's great. That's a great way to start without having to invest in software, without having to take on a ton of risk, because you're actually just either arbing or you're taking the points bet side, whichever one you want to do, just bet points bet or take the arb, whichever one kind of feels more, you know, aligned with what you're feeling at the time. Because of course, me and Brock would say the points bet side is the better side, but it's also nice to not have, you know, your money at risk when you're starting out. And if that's helpful, then that's helpful. So,
yeah. And also it's possible Caesars is wrong. They've made mistakes before. Yeah. They could mistake again.
That's true. That's true. Certainly. Certainly it won't be 100%, 0%. It'll be like 90-10 or something. For sure. So yeah, just take, you know, that's the Caesars points bet lo-fi trio of power is what I recommend to the audience.
Yeah. And I just did this in the bathtub, just chilling.
Yeah. The plus the bathtub, which this is the first time we've talked about betting from a bathtub. Hopefully not the last. I think we need to normalize baths and betting from baths more. It's a great lifestyle, combo.
Yes.
Keeps you cool. Keeps you kind of untilted, right? That's right. So anyway, I think that's great. Like I always want people to leave. I want people to, who are on a couple different levels of their betting journey to leave with something. And like, I definitely want people who are more towards step one to like leave with actionable stuff. And it doesn't get more actionable than that. Like just the bare bones, get a Caesars, get the points bet, get the Caesars, get the BetMGM out, whichever, compare the two and just watch and wait. And then you'll pick up the momentum once you start actually clicking in arbs and seeing like, oh, I just made money by clicking in, you know, two bets. And then go get Odds Pulse once you burn your points bet, MGM.
Or you can use us for points bet too. We support points bet.
That's right. Yeah. That's true. You can use them before. But I do think that's a good value. I think being like, hey, look, like this is how you can learn how to do it. Do it. I'll teach you, you know, Brock's here teaching us how to do it without his software for free. But like, if you want to do main lines and stuff, then if you get more advanced, then, you know, he's going to have this service that can help you with main lines. I love it. It's like, you know, eventually that's kind of like the model I have always like envisioned is like, I want to teach people how to win at sports betting for free. And then maybe if they're really interested in going, you know, to higher levels or something, like that would be something in the future I could sell. But like that initial, like get you from negative to break even or break even to slight winner, like I do think that there's a value out there of just giving that away for free, because it's really helpful to teach people how to not lose a sports book. I think that's just overall societal good.
It's fun. Yeah. It's good. It's interesting. Societal good. It's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. I think it's societal good.
It's like, I think it's like, because some people really like watching sports and like betting, and if they can do that and not have it drain their savings and fuck their retirement or whatnot, I think, you know, if they're going to do it anyway, I think that if you can teach some people how to enjoy it and win, like,
yeah,
you're cruising. And then if you want to make like a serious side income or do this professionally, it takes a lot more. And the teaching that would go into that would be like way more involved, and you might burn a couple of your own things. And so that's a whole separate question. But I think just the easier stuff you can teach to anybody, and anybody can do it. And if they're already doing it, why not do the easy stuff that makes money, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, you heard it. Caesars points bet. We're coming for points bet and lo-fi beats. Dude, thanks for coming on. It's
of course
like being, you know, one of the true top dogs in the live art space. I'll proclaim you as that. At least, you know, from a combination of actually doing it plus building, you know, building software, I think that's important, because you're actually still doing it every day. You know, you're getting your hands dirty. You know what goes into like a good experience of live arbing, you know, when stuff changes, I think it's important to like be in there betting. So I can't wait to have you, you know, do a little demo for the Discord. So everybody who's listening to this, who's more interested in learning more, the Discord link will be in the show notes. So will the Odds Pulse link if you want to get started with that. I'll put Brock's Twitter up, sports betting guy, also in the show notes. So feel free to DM him. You're very responsive to DMs.
There's another thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Not to like continue this, we can end it and talk about it later.
Have
you ever DM'd Jeffrey Benson on Twitter?
I haven't. I like him though. Yeah.
He responds in a second. Like you would think this man has like a lot going on, but he'll be like, getting 1,000 tweets at him, and like you DM him, I'm like, oh, what's the deal with my circuit bet? And instant response. Like
he is on Twitter.
He's like, so he lives on Twitter.
I love Jeff and what he does on Twitter. And this is getting into a whole nother thing, but Jeff and Brett, who was on the podcast, and then we had to take it down because of, you know, certain things, but the people who are on the bookmaking side, who are engaging with customers, who actually answer questions instead of being like, oh, it's, you know, policy, we've decided with accordance with the risk and the trader, you know, like the general corporate BS, like these guys are out there actually engaging with bettors. Great for the community. Jeff, if you're listening, would love to have you on. Take some bit of a break from Twitter though, man. I know you're out there crusading for all of us, but for your own longevity and mental health, get off Twitter a little bit.
I can see why he's always on. It's really interesting. Like what's happening on Twitter.
He's definitely like the kind of like the guy in the space, I would say, on Twitter, at least from the bookmaker side. And you know, I think he gives Circa a lot of good press. I love Circa. Love what they're doing. I think that, you know, yeah. Anyway, I'm all pro it. I just think I find sometimes if I'm on Twitter too much, it just starts to like cloud my brain. So I, but shout out to Jeff and to people who are in the space, like Jeff, who actually take time to respond to DMs. I actually think people are more responsive to DMs than you generally think. So if you reach out to somebody with like a well thought out question, if you reach out to Brock, you know, with this example
I respond to everyone.
He responds, you know, if you reach out to me, I try and be super responsive. So yeah, just don't be afraid to reach out to people. I mean, I met Brock through Twitter and I met all of my guests through Twitter actually. So like, just get out there, DM people. Everybody's interested in the same stuff really in the space. So that's a good note to end on is, yeah, I do think in the plus EV space, a lot of the people who are winning bettors, doing it the right way and not trying to sell some like scam, are pretty open and interested in engaging on Twitter and, you know, helping people out. So it's not as scary as it seems. Just, you know, DM, you know, I don't know, DM Spanky. Who knows? Spanky. She could get back to you.
Interesting. yeah, Jeffrey will definitely get back to you.
Definitely DM
one day, it could be 5 a.m. in the afternoon. Does not matter. Respond instantly.
I actually might have to DM him now. just because we did this whole segment about how quickly he responds to DMs. And maybe
it's mind blowing to me. Like, he's doing something else, but he just like immediately responds to the customer. I'm almost thinking like he has a team doing it for him.
The Jeffrey Benson Twitter like team. He's a celebrity. These celebrities, they have people manage their social media.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get him on and then we can confront him and say, do you have a team running your Twitter or not? And see what he says.
Yeah, I would be very curious about that.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for hopping on. We'll see you. We'll try and get you in the Discord this Friday. I'll post in there. And yeah, thanks again for the chat. We'll everyone please give Barack a follow and get into that live, you know, again, Caesars points bet, LoFi beats Bath. That's money. That's how you make money. So do that. And thanks everyone for watching, and I will see you on the next episode.